Well, again, so as Brother Doug was talking to me about this and what this conference was going to be, and he used Genesis as an example, I thought that was going to be one of the topics, so I did request it as soon as he said it. It is a favorite of mine, and so we're going to talk about why Genesis is important. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And I'd like to ask that we stand as I read God's Word. I'll read the first 11 verses, but to be honest, I'm really going to deal only with the first verse tonight, Genesis 1:1. But let's read through the first 11. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. We'll just read verse 12 and I'll stop there, I promise. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Let us look toward the Lord now in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, mercy and grace and watch care over us. I thank you, our Father, for this conference. I thank you for this church and her pastor, his family. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless them. And give them strength throughout the weekend. And Lord, may we all just be encouraged and blessed by being around your people and around your word. I ask, Father, that you would give me grace tonight and liberty and unction from on high to present thy word in truth and in love. I ask, Father, that you forgive us of our sins. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So why is Genesis important? That's how we will spend the rest of our time. It is no secret to the church that I pastor, it's no secret to my family, and maybe no secret to a lot of you here, but I really genuinely enjoy preaching about creation. I genuinely enjoy it. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was not raised in knowing about creation. That was not even a subject that would have been thought of. You don't even get to hear about an alternative in a lot of schools and things. So when the Lord saved me and you get into the Word, Genesis makes sense, right? It makes sense. And of course, all of us in here tonight, you're like, yeah, of course it makes sense. That's why you're preaching it. Well, let's really look into it. Why is this so foundational? Why is it so important? Beloved, I truly believe that the book of Genesis is foundational to what we believe about everything. And there's going to hopefully be time and more of that to come as this message develops and goes through. And I believe that it is our responsibility as preachers, as pastors, to equip our people to know the why, to understand that we don't just turn to Genesis 1:1 and we can recite it in 10 words and say, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And we can recite those words, but why is that so important? Why is that so foundational to what we believe and everything else that you will hear preached throughout this weekend? And I really do believe if someone were to ask me, if any of you were to ask me, or someone on the street was to ask me, or someone was to ask me which verse in the Bible that I believe is the most important, or not, I wouldn't say that, is the most foundational verse of all, I would definitely say Genesis 1:1. We've got to start there. You've got to get Genesis 1:1 down. If you don't get Genesis 1:1 down, the rest of the Bible is not going to make sense. You're like, really? Yeah, hold on. We will get there. Genesis 1:1. If Genesis 1:1 is false, then the rest of the Bible might as well be as false as well. It would then merely just be a book of fables, myths, and legends. If we truly don't get a hold and understand why we believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. If Genesis 1:1 is false, the Bible is a dangerous book because it leads people to believe lies if we can't get Genesis 1:1 down. If Genesis 1:1 is false, the gospel is a lie. If Genesis 1:1 is false, there is no God. There's no meaning in life. There's no moral high ground because nothing is right and nothing is wrong if Genesis 1:1 is not true. If Genesis 1:1 is false, man is the product of random selection and is accountable to no one. Thus a person can do as they please. Do we see a lot of that today? Yes, we do. They can live for themselves, believe anything they wish, feel any way they want to feel, act any way they want to act. Excuse me, beloved, if Genesis 1:1 is false, life is without purpose. It's without meaning. And when life ends, there is no hope. Man simply ceased to exist. And if Genesis 1:1 is false, you might as well just tune me out the rest of this message. Because all you're going to hear from this point forward would be dangerous lies if it's false. Now, you're going to know it's not. I'm going to get there. Because if it's false, then everything else I'm about to say is going to just give you false hopes and lead you in a pointless direction. Genesis 1:1 is false. There's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no sin, and there's no God. There's no accountability. However, why is it important? Because on the other hand, if Genesis 1:1 can be trusted, and it can, so can the rest of the Word of God. Since Genesis 1:1 is true, the Bible is a book of truth. And since Genesis 1:1 is true, the rest of the Bible can be believed. And since Genesis 1:1 is true, life has meaning. And since Genesis 1:1 is true, man is the product of intelligent design. Man is the creation of God Himself, made in God's image for God's glory. And since Genesis 1:1 is true, everyone is accountable to God and will one day face Him to give an account of his or her life. And since Genesis 1:1 is true, you might as well listen to me. I mean, you're here anyway, so you might as well listen to me. Because this verse, why is it important? This verse serves as the foundation for the rest of the Bible. This verse establishes the truth of the Word of God. This verse establishes the truth of the gospel. This verse establishes the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, as it says in 1 Corinthians. You say, Brother Justin, you got all of that out of Genesis 1:1. I sure did. And so much more. And so much more. You see, Genesis 1:1 promises much. And it delivers on every promise it makes. In this text, we find profound truth. In this verse, as I mentioned, that has 10 words in it, can be quoted by just about everyone in here, and yet teaches us truth too deep that the most intelligent of humans will never fully understand. And so, why is it important? I have three parts. This text makes a simple statement. Sure. This text makes a scientific statement. And then thirdly, this text makes a saving statement. So it's important. Rest assured. So this text makes a simple statement. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 10 simple words, which any of you that can understand my English right now can understand what those words are. Now we're going to try to put them together, right? God's put them together for us. In the beginning. Why is this important? Why do we need to have this first verse of the Bible? In the beginning. This word means that which is first. The beginning. Beloved, in the most simplest terms I can think of, there was absolutely nothing before God. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. You know, people can say, well, there was darkness. No, there was no darkness because darkness is something. And the Bible says there was nothing. Well, you know, somebody say, well, there was time. No, time is something, right? It's hard for us to imagine nothing because we've always seen something, right? We really can't get our minds wrapped around the fact that there was nothing. And the evolutionists and the atheists and the agnostics, all of them want you to believe that there was something before God, but there was nothing before God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's why this verse is so important. That's why it's so foundational. We've got to wrap our minds around the fact that there really was an actual nothing besides God, who is everything. So please don't think that I'm being disrespectful to the fact that God was there. We've got to understand that it was that God was the beginning of everything. That we have, and it's hard for us to do that. Again, our finite minds will not allow us to do that. So the Bible, again here, tells us that this universe had its birth out of nothing from the greatest that there ever was and is and will be, and that is God, which comes as the next word. In the beginning, God. This word, Elohim, it is the plural name of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were all there. Amen. All ages in creation. And we use Elohim to speak of God's majesty. It offers in its plurality the first seed of the doctrine of Trinity, right here in Genesis 1:1. And it's just so foundational. Oh, I get so excited. Oh man, I don't know what Sunday's message will be yet. It might be part 9 of this. I don't know. Who knows? But it's just a beautiful word. It is a beautiful beginning to the Word of God. It speaks of God as the eternal, supreme, and sovereign God. It carries with it the Mighty One. And again, it speaks of His majesty and the plurality of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, beloved, if we believe in the beginning God, and I tell you what, you can believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is the foundation of everything. The Bible says that it is established on the existence of God. That's why this is so important, that we've got to have this down. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. You see? He was here before. I mean, He's always been. He is the eternal God. He is the one from whom everything came. He is the author of life. He is the creator of everything. And He is the controller of all things. And we learn that from Genesis 1:1. Amen. It's just so mind-boggling and so wonderful. All of this truth contained right here for us in the opening verse of the Word of God. I always thoroughly enjoy turning, when I'm preaching on this, over there to Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 16 and 17. It says, "For by Him were all things created, not some, not most, not, well, it's going to evolve a little bit." No, you see, again, when we trust that Genesis 1:1 is true, that's why it's important. We know then, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him, and He is before the beginning of all things, and by Him all things consist. By him all things consist. God, Elohim, God, has always been. In the beginning, God created. This is the Hebrew word, bara. It refers to a new thing. It means to create something from nothing. So we established there was nothing outside of God. It's hard for us to picture that, but in order to really get an understanding and a foundation of having a beginning, it is that God is able, by the power of who He is, to create something from nothing. In the beginning, God created. You see, everything in our universe, every planet, every star, every animal, every human, every molecule of dust was created out of nothing by God. He is the Creator God. In the beginning. You see? It's awesome. People make objects every day. But everyone who is said to have to create something always begins with something. God created everything. You see, the artist may use paint or clay or marble or some other medium. But everything that is made by man always begins with something that was already made. God is from the beginning, took nothing, and made everything. It's just awesome. I mean, it really is. Like I said, there's so much in this verse that we can't even begin to describe. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heavens and the earth, or the heaven and the earth, excuse me. This simply means that everything on the earth, around the earth, beyond the earth, was created by God. As we mentioned, plants, animals, fish, trees, plants, dirt, sand, rocks, sky, moon, planets, stars, solar systems, galaxies. Everything was created by God. Simple statement, profound truth, right? Why is this all so important? So why are we taking so much time here? That's the second part of the message, and that is that this text makes a scientific statement. Oh, Brother Justin, you're getting all scientific on us. Well, the Bible talks about science. I mean, it's ultimately a book that tells us about Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen? But it has some science in there. Just as long as it has some poetry in there, and it has some proverbs in there, and it has some wisdom in there. And it tells us about the life of men and women. It has some science in there for sure. Right? So, it's a simple statement, but it's also a scientific statement. It's important for us to get this connection. It's important for us to understand this. Because we don't have to fit science in the Bible. It's already there. What we need scientists to do is start with the Bible. Amen? Just start there. Their life would be a whole lot easier if you just start with the Bible. We don't have to fit it in because it's already there. And beloved, if I say nothing else, remember this. That no matter what man's science claims, the Bible is always right. Okay? That's why we got it again. Why is this so important? Why is Genesis 1:1 so important? Because when we believe and know and just get it right, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, then when a scientist comes and says, hey, blah, 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 we say, no, wait a second. No, that can't be right because in the beginning God said this. We got to get that right. It's really important out there, all right? So again, you know where I'm going to go with this for a few moments. The world science tells us that the universe came into existence through a Big Bang. And under this theory, the universe expanded from a very high density and high temperature state, and things just kept expanding, and all of a sudden there was this pond scum really eventually on the earth, right? So this pond scum was there, and it was kind of bubbling and doing its thing, and from this soup of pond scum, there was an ape, and then, from there there was this monkey, because the monkey's a little bit closer to me, right? And so from the monkey then came me. Woohoo! Right? I mean, it's ludicrous. And so we say, why is this so important? Because we got to know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the animals. I read through some of the Genesis account there in the first 11 verses. You keep going, you will see that He created animals different than He created man. Right? He created plants different than He created animals. He created water different than he created land. He made a distinction in his creation. So if you ever want to get evolutionists going, it's a lot of fun. So you know they love, you know, the whole come from the ape to the monkey thing, right? So you just, in the kindest, most gentlest way, just say, so who in your family tree is the monkey? I just gotta know. I mean, is it your grandma? And stop. Back up a little, right? Because I mean, the fifth is gonna start coming. Oh, sorry, it must have been your great grandma. Also, your great 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 grandma. She would be, so you're gonna get knocked up. But seriously, I make a joke about it, but that it's just it's mind boggling. But I was raised that way, folks. So don't think that I'm trying to poke fun at something that I don't really know about. I mean, that's what's taught. That's why it's so important that we get Genesis 1:1 down. We got to get this down. All right. If he's a really big person, don't try that monkey thing with him. It's probably not going to work out good for you. Okay. But it is. It's reckless stuff. Right? The secular scientists say that the universe is approximately 13.8 billion years old. Yet the Bible teaches the universe in the beginning was created by God. And if the Bible timeline is taken at face value, the universe is somewhere really between 6,000 and 8,000 years old. 8,000 being really about the oldest that I can really timeline out. But somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 years old. A lot different than millions of years, isn't it? It's a big difference. But I don't know about you folks. But I would rather trust God who was that creation because he created than anyone else who was not around at the time of this Big Bang. Take God at his word. We could go back. I could reread all of the things I said since Genesis 1:1 is true. Right? Fill in all those blanks again. So yeah, this statement is so important and it makes a great scientific statement. And just on that, and I'll move off of that, but I think it takes more faith, a misguided faith, but it's a faith nonetheless to believe that conditions came about from a thing of pond scum to believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now I know God gave me faith to believe. I know all that theological stuff, but I mean, just thinking like even as a trying to rationalize it out, it just doesn't make sense. Because they have the fossil record. They got the fossil record, we got nothing. Because they've got the fossil record and they got radiometric dating, so we got nothing. Oh, yes we do. Remember, start with the Bible. And it's going to make sense, right? So I live up in Ohio, just north of Columbus. Well, just about an hour and 10 minutes north of Columbus. And we got Cincinnati down there. And we don't have any large bodies of water in Ohio, just so you know. We certainly don't have any oceans around us. And one of the members of our church, he is an engineer, and they build big old high-rises, right? So, you know, those big buildings, big doctor's offices, stuff like that you see. He engineers that stuff, and they gotta dig pretty deep to see, get to the bedrock. And he brings in samples to us one time, and you know what? It was so weird. In Columbus, near Columbus, they found a seashell in that rock layer in Ohio. I'm not near a body of water. How do you think that happened? I'll tell you how it happened. It happened because of the global worldwide flood that Genesis records in chapter 6. So get Genesis 1:1 right, and then it's going to make sense that I can find a seashell in Columbus, Ohio. Amen? It's going to make sense. Buddy Davis sings a song, billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. We got to have this right. Okay? Evolution says life is a chance. Creation says God created with intelligence and design. Evolution says you descended from the ape. Creation says you were made in the image of God. Evolution places no value on love. Creation says God loves beauty and love is meaningful. Evolution teaches survival of the fittest. Creation and scriptures reveal that God looks out for the weak, the beaten, and the broken. Evolution says Jesus is a fraud. The Bible says he created us and he loves his children. Then he went to the cross to die for sinners. Fourthly? What am I on? You guys keeping track? It makes a saving statement. Genesis 1:1 does. How are we going to bring this to the cross? How am I going to talk about now that it's a simple statement, that it's a scientific statement, it's a taking statement? Why is Genesis 1:1 so important? Well, hopefully you've got something out of this tonight. Hopefully there's something. But let me tell you this. When we go to the cross, and we have this understanding of Genesis 1 as foundational for understanding for salvation, it's going to make a big difference. Here's why. Now, do I believe that you have to be a young earth creationist to be saved? No. And here's why. Because salvation is grace through faith covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's how we're saved. It's by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. However, I will say this. Because Genesis 1 is so vital and so true, it is vital for salvation. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's, again, not a created being. He has always been. He is the God, the Elohim of Genesis 1:1. Again, and an agent in creation. And we could go to Colossians 1:16. It was just past what I read earlier, that he had the preeminence in all things. We learn through the Bible, after we get past Genesis 1:1, that God requires the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. Lots of Old Testament types and pictures that lead and show us that. But I'm telling you, as I said, if you can't get down Genesis 1:1, then why are you going to believe anything else after that? You've got to have Genesis 1:1. It's so important. Now, why is it so important when it comes to salvation? Why is it so important when it comes to shedding of blood for forgiveness of sin? Because you see, beloved, if the shedding of blood occurred before sin, as would have happened in the garden if Adam and Eve were sitting on a fossil record of dead things millions of years old, then the foundation of the atonement would be destroyed. But they didn't walk into a fossil record. Adam's sin caused death. We have to understand that Genesis 1:1 is true, because then we need to understand that as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see, that's why it's so important. It's just not the first 10 words of the Bible. It's not just that we can just say, oh, okay, Genesis, yeah, woo, creation. No, it is foundational in the covering of sin. Because, again, Adam and Eve weren't sinning on top of a bunch of fossils. No, they sinned. They transgressed against God. And that transgression was death and separation from God. Then you go through the Old Testament, as I said, and there's just all the shadows and the types and the pictures of the covering or of the shedding of blood to cover sin. And then we can take Genesis 1:1 all the way to the cross now, because again, we have to believe that in the beginning there was nothing and that God made everything from nothing, because he's God and he has the power to do it, that Adam sinned against God. And we move ahead about, you know, so when Christ came, and then he shed his blood on the cross to cover my sin because of Adam's sin back from the beginning. It's really deep. I mean, it's so amazing when we think about it and tie it all together like that. Because again, if the shedding of blood occurred before sin, and as I said, as would have happened if the garden was sitting on a fossil record of dead things millions of years ago, beloved, just be believing a lie. But again, Adam sinned. And then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered physical death and shed his blood, because death is the penalty for sin. And we could read a bunch of verses. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained when? For the foundation of the world. So it comes back, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Romans 10:9 through 13, all these are all so beautiful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Let's get back to Genesis 1. Let's understand why it's so important. Because it truly is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I thank you for your attention to the word of God. May God use his word and add a blessing to it. Appreciate it.
So what's the opportunity for that?